It's so good to be home. I had so much fun away, and I loved being with my mom and my siblings and my nieces and nephews and all of it, my great nieces, and I just had a great time. Spent some time in Easley, upstate South Carolina, with my mom and some of my siblings, and then went down to the beach with some of my siblings and my mom, and had a great time. But by, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm like, yep, I'm ready to go home. I love y'all. I missed you. And I'm thankful for the chance to get away. Thank you, Ron. I don't know why my iPad decided to update right now. It's a good time, right? It's a good time. Yeah, I'm thankful. But thankful to Ron and Doug and Megan and the team and the tech team, for everybody who fills in, that makes it easy for me to be away without worrying. I'm really grateful for that. That's a gift to me that I can go out of town and really check out. Well, for the most part, check out. And I'm thankful for that. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. I don't know if you know this about Oak River, but we celebrate all the ladies on this day, even the young girls. If you were born female, we celebrate you today. And because I know a lot of people in my life who've never physically given birth to a child, but they are more mom than anything else. And I always think of Deborah on this day in the Bible, where it talks about her and how it says about her, and God raised up Deborah to be a mother to Israel. And I feel like there's a need for mothers in this world. And mothers give sacrificially over and over and over again, and they just love hard. And so I know a lot of people who've done that, who've never given birth to a child. And so happy Mother's Day to all. We have a little gift for you as you're leaving today. If you're a female, you get a gift. It's a card with a Mitchell's gift card inside. Yeah. This girl, Kylie, loves ice cream. So you get Mitchell's gift card, and I think there's a little chocolate on top too. If you're a female, you get that today on your way out. I think we have enough for everybody. And we get blessed today by having five ladies who I prayed about. I said, God, who do you want to come and speak for about 5 minutes each? Nobody timed them, though, okay? They might speak longer. They might not speak that long. But I asked them to share today, to continue our series that Ron started last week called Inside the Kingdom, but I'm calling it At Home. I asked them to share how living in the kingdom impacts their everyday lives. Because if all we do is come to church and shout and hooray, hooray, you know, and have a bagel afterwards, we're missing it. We're missing it. It is at home, at the workplace, that this happens. So I know they have some good stuff for you to hear today. The first one is Carly. The order is going to be, I'm not going to come up after everyone because that'll just be boring for you. The first one is Carly, and then it's going to be Kathy next, and then Janet, and then Kim, and then Heather. So y'all just come on up when it's your turn, and please hold the mic like this, not like this. You hear the difference? Yeah, it's a big difference. So hold it up here so we can catch it on the recording, okay? Carly, starting it off.
Yay. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Is it? Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. I'm one of the not moms. Definitely the opposite of that. I think if you ask the majority of my friends, they've probably referred to me as their daughter at some point in time, probably multiple occasions. But when I was talking to God about it, I felt like he shifted my focus, and he said, I want you to talk about the importance of being a kid. And so what do kids do really well, specifically toddlers? I'm going to use a story to illustrate it. So I was with my nephew, Kane. He's 3 years old, and he wanted to race around the coffee table. So we're running around the coffee table, and I noticed this cup of water that's kind of on the edge of it, very precariously placed, and I thought that is a recipe for disaster. So as I ran around, I tried to push it to the center of the table, didn't work, tried to push it again, didn't work. So the third time I stopped, I picked it up, put it in the center of the table. And then when Kane gets to that spot, he stops and he picks up the water and he puts it back down in the same spot. And I thought, that was weird. So we go around again and he stops in the same spot and he picks it up and puts it back down in the same spot. And then I realized he watched me, and then he was copying me. What do kids do really well? They watch and they copy. So I want to share this one verse in Ephesians 5, 1 to 12 in the Message. I've been meditating on it all year, and it actually really goes well with this. It says, watch what God does, and then you do it, like kids who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't give in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. So when Sandy first asked me to share about how God's kingdom impacted my everyday home life, I thought I'm the worst possible person to ask this question to, because for the most part, I live alone. I don't have a husband. I don't have kids. I'm alone, and I come home, and I spend time in the Word, and I spend time in worship, and that's pretty much my day at home. And then I thought, well, maybe that's the point, spending time with him, not to know about him, but to know him. And that's the importance. When you guys spend time in Scripture, don't just spend it to know about him. Spend it to know him. And the more time you spend with someone, the more they rub off on you. And I notice that when I'm not consistently in the Word, when I'm not consistently spending time with him, it shows up. More of me starts to come out and less of him, and it's really not pretty. But home is where I fill up. Home is where I get away from the noises of the world, and I tune into his voice. But the importance of taking that and then going out into the world. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. I want to be someone who loves like he loves. I want to be someone who gives extravagantly. And a lot of times when we think about giving, we think about money. And sure, that's a portion of it, but that is not the main part. Jesus, we never read about him giving away large gobs of money. He didn't have large gobs of money to give away. No, he gives away himself every day, every hour, every moment. He goes, he spends time with the Father, and then he goes and pours out his love on the world. I want to be someone who gives extravagantly. Sure, money, but my time, my heart, my love. I want to be an extravagant giver of grace and mercy and forgiveness, because that's what he did. So back to Sandy's question, how does kingdom living, kingdom thought impact your everyday life? Jesus said, let the little children come to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I try to be like a child. I want my life to be focused on loving him and loving others, watching what he does, and then going and doing it. And I get it wrong more than I get it right. But when I get it wrong, it's when I take my eyes off of him. And thankfully, we have a God who is an extravagant giver of grace. I want to close with one quote that I heard someone randomly say in passing, I think in an airport one time. They said, every life is worth everything we can give it. And that's how Jesus lived. He came down and he gave everything completely extravagantly. He didn't withhold anything. And I want to be like a child who sees that and then imitates it. I want my everyday life to be filled with extravagant giving, because that's what he did. That's who he was. So I'm going to close with that, and I'm going to pass it off to the next four ladies who have probably a lot more experience with extravagant giving than I do, because they're moms, and that's part of the mom life. So, Kathy.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. That's appropriate, too. I'm going to give a little background information, just a little. In 4 days, Mike and I will be celebrating our 49th anniversary. 5 days after that, I will be celebrating my 45 years starting my journey as a mother. So when Pastor said 5 minutes, I said, where do I start? God, as usual, provides. I'm one of those people that has scriptures that have pop up in your life over and over again. I'm going to read three of them. You're not allowed to time me. I'm sorry, guys. The first one is from Exodus 14, verse 13. Be still and know that I am God. The second one is from Isaiah 45, verse 9. Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Or, you have no hands. To me, I always had a picture of this little blobby clay man standing up on the potter's wheel with his little blobby clay finger in the air saying, I don't want to be a cereal bowl. I want to be a vase. The last one is Philippians 1, verse 6. Paul speaks, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I know that's Paul speaking, but that always was a promise to me. It always sounded like a promise. Fast forward to Kathy's kitchen. I probably worked my part-time that day. Dishes in the sink, wet clothes in the washer, dryer full, needing to be folded, dinner on the stove, hopefully not burning or boiling over. One's sitting at the table crying over her homework. The other one needs a change. The last one calls and says, honey, it's going to be another late night. Can you bring me dinner? So this little blobby clay woman, standing in her kitchen with this chaos swirling around her, lifts her blobby clay eyes to heaven and says, Father, I don't know if I can do this. Well, what I got was a be still moment. Time out. Time out. Catherine, you beautiful lump of clay. I started something good in you. Trust me that I am, you are not finished until I say so. And trust me that I am giving you everything you need. So take a deep breath. We're going to handle this one step at a time. Time in. Yes, the diaper got changed. Homer got done. Everybody had dinner on clean dishes. There was clean underwear for the next day. So for me, kingdom living can take an infinite number of forms, because our God is infinite. But over the years, I've had a lot of be still moments where God says, okay, this is the scripture for right now. So that's my take on motherhood. Did I keep it to 5 minutes? And I would like to introduce the next person, Janet, if you would please come up.
We can all relate to that. And Carly, I have to say that it was amazing for you to start this out, because if you don't know, she has mothered many people in this church and had them at her house. And I mean, just exemplified being a mom. So, so thank you for sharing. And I love the kid perspective. All right. I have my notes so I don't squirrel. So when Sandy asked me to share today, I did what any normal person does today, and I Googled, what does it mean? What does she really want to know how faith impacts my home life? So this is what Google says. Faith impacts everyday home life by transforming daily routines, relationships, and decision making through things like prayer, gratitude, and intentional kindness. And I love this last sentence. It provides peace during chaos and turns stress into reliance on God. Well, whew, I think Google has it all figured out. And I agree, but if I'm being honest, my experience looks a little messier, a little different than that. If you're like me, you take a couple steps forward and then you take a step back, and that's real life, right? So as I prayed about what to share with you today, the Lord kept bringing back one thing, and I think that you're hearing it reiterated, because I've heard it now twice from Carly and from Kathy. but it's really how his word transforms me. I recently heard a pastor ask a simple but a very convicting question. How much screen time do you have in a day? And how does that compare to the time that you spend with the Lord in a week? Honestly, I'm not winning that race. But here is the thing. When I do spend time in his word, he blesses me with understanding. Not every time, but he blesses me with understanding when I look back. Many times he blesses me with a conclusion, his way is better than mine. How many times do we pray, Lord, do this, do this, do this? That might not be what needs done. He blesses me with a trust to surrender and a peace that only he can give. So reading the word sparks dialogue in my heart. I'm reading Jeremiah right now, and I don't like all of the stuff, but then there's chapters where the Lord is crying out on how we have betrayed him. And then he gets angry, and I ask, why did you write it like this, Lord? What do you want me to understand? I'm telling you, every day that I read, I don't walk away, wow. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what you're trying to tell me today. But then as the days go by, the weeks go by, I can look back and have a different perspective. And you guys, I think that's his plan. It keeps my eyes on him instead of all of the chaos and yuckiness that's going on in our world today. So when I asked Matt and Kylie how they see my faith at home, both of them said, I talk about it ad nauseum. The big eye roll. But here's the truth. I talk about what I read, how it applies to today, how I see God working, and I miss a lot, I'm sure. But I'm thankful that he's given me the ability to see some of what he's doing. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So I'm going to share with you, just because it's Mother's Day, an example of my ad nauseum musings. So, as most of you know, Kylie graduates this year. When she was a freshman, I really struggled with the thought that in 4 years, I would basically be done parenting. But over these 4 years, I have been in awe of how good God's plan is. That freshman year, as I was mourning not being needed as much, the Lord gave Matt and I more time. We had dates. And you know what? We actually found we still like each other and like hanging out together. It's been 30-some years that we've been together. I was 15 when we started dating. I am now 50, so so we still like each other. Sophomore year, Kylie started driving. Finally. Any of you parents know what the We were thrilled that she could get herself around and thrilled that we didn't have to take her. So junior year, her schedule got busy, and we barely saw her except at dinner sometimes. And my point here is that the Lord orchestrated everything so gradually, so naturally, that the transition has not felt overwhelming. And I'm not saying sending her off to college is going to be easy, but I am saying this. I am so grateful that his plan prepares us, not only for her going off to college, but if you look back at your life, hopefully you'll see that he's prepared you for the different things that you've had to encounter. So I'm going to go back to the ad nauseum and the big eye roll. And those of you that have these little ones still, continue making them give you the big eye roll. I had a wonderful moment the last few months. Kylie has a boyfriend, and he's a really good guy. And I heard her repeating some of the things that I have been saying. And she said, Mom,
I told Carl we have to pray, and we prayed together. And I have to tell you, that was such a blessing from the Lord, and so continue making them give you those eye rolls. So anyway, that's my faith on display at home, and I'm hoping your takeaway is more than Janet talks ad nauseum. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. Okay, so how does my faith impact my home life? The thing that came to mind for me is it makes me less annoying. About 10-ish years ago, I'm serious, it was annoying. My kids were all struggling in their faith. They were all adults, all out of the house. My oldest at that time, a daughter, was married to a woman. A son in college got persuaded by his professor that all religion was the same, and so he had doubts and had completely walked away from his faith. The other two would probably say they had faith, but they were never in church or praying or showing any sign that they had faith. So I was a bit upset. I was feeling God maybe didn't keep all of his promises for me. And so I decided I was going to do it myself. And I annoyingly decided that I was going to shoehorn the Lord into every interaction or conversation that I had with them. It maybe wasn't quite that bad, but it was darn close. And it was awkward, and it was annoying, and it was worse than I rolled, Janet. I was making it worse. I wasn't making it better. I spent a lot of time practicing potential conversations with them and trying to just stewing about it. And a big percentage of my prayers were this, not just praying for them and lifting them up, but like figuring out how I could make this happen, how I could fix this. So I was getting ready for my quiet time one day. I was already thinking about the kids. And as I sat down, the Lord asked me, will you be okay if your kids are not in heaven? And I reacted like you guys all just did. My initial heart feeling was no, a screaming no. But I knew very clearly that the answer had to be yes. I needed it to be yes. And once I said yes, God helped me to feel yes. It wasn't there at the beginning, but he was good, and he helped me see where I had made them an idol in my life, and I was actually doing damage rather than helping. And so I almost immediately did not have the anxiety and the stress of it. I intentionally, when I would feel it, I would just pass them off to God. And I didn't need to say something every time. I learned how to shut my mouth, which I'm sure was a blessing for everybody. They probably don't know, I don't know, but I just focused on showing them unconditional love and not having a comment of anything that they were doing. And this is true, obviously, not just for parent-child, but for spouses or hobbies. We can make anything an idol. And if you feel that stressed feeling, take a hard look at that. It can sneak in there. Now, God did give me these children to lift them up in prayer. I didn't just stop praying for them. It's always going to be my job because they are mine. But the results of it are between them and him. I don't need to carry that. So this is one day that my everyday home life continues to be impacted by the kingdom of God. And now, lovely Heather, you are up.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I don't know what I'm saying, so no, I'm just kidding. Life, it's a lot. I generally hit the sun hits. No, it's not even up yet. And my eyes are up and I'm like, what do I have to do today? Oh my gosh. And I just go. So when Sandy was like, do you want to speak? I'm like, I'll just AI it. Tell me what to say and I'll just say it. And I'm kind of like, if you know my parents, I'm half my mom, half my dad. So it's really hard to be me. It makes it a lot harder. Half of me is super organized and wants to check all the boxes. And the other half, my brain runs like a cartoon, like a tree that has 1,000 roots that blast all at once. And I'm like, I don't know which way to go. So I was really like, oh, we'll just start out with a crowd chant. This side says life. This side says stinks. Okay, we'll go back and forth. Just kidding. I was thinking, like, how do I get the kids going in class? It's usually something weird like that, but it really doesn't. You have moments. It does. It really does. And being a Christian, being saved, sometimes I'm like, I don't really have a testimony. I don't know. I just had to grow up as a Christian. We went to church Sunday, Wednesday. We were always there. My parents were at practice. We've heard worship music our whole life. It's just ingrained in us. But just because that was ingrained, I haven't always made the best choices or the right choices, and I think it's easy sometimes to, like, people often look at our family and be like, you're so lucky and you all are together, but a lot of backstories that if you knew, it's not like that always, but our core group, my parents are the hugest blessing and have really instilled so much in me of, you know, how I should do things, and then after I do it wrong, I'm like, oh, shoot. They were right. So they've really instilled just so much little seeds that were planted that I was like, yeah, and I know all these things, but I'm horrible with verse memorization. Dad, thanks for that. If you ask me what my favorite verse is, I'll say Jesus wept. I don't know. Literally, it's crazy. My brain is crazy. I don't remember lyrics. I have to look at the words. It's all there. But overall, when Sandy said, how do you instill, like, everyday God in your life? It's literally like, I would love to say, I get up, I spend 30 minutes in the sun on the deck and pray, and I just don't have time. I have like 4 to 5 jobs at once at sometimes, literally, like from teaching to executive functioning to real estate that I added to scoring tests for other states. It's crazy, and being a mom and everything else. But honestly, it's in, I take moments, you know, where I'm driving and I talk to God, like literally just talk. There's no set words. There's nothing I say specific. It's like, hey, God, this is what's going on. I get distracted in my prayers. My kids will tell you we prayed on the way here, and I think I prayed about 100 different things that were off track from everything this week coming up. But literally just speaking to him like a regular person. Sometimes I'm like, how come he doesn't talk back? Can a fly land or something and make a sign, or is there something in the sky? But I think he does speak back in these like gentle, calm ways that you don't realize sometimes, or you look back and you're like, hey, that worked out, or that I didn't think it was going to. Worship music is huge. Music in general. Sometimes I'm having a moment and I literally blast the music. Like, my kids are like, what the heck, you know, and I turn it on. I'll just say to Alexa or whatever, turn on gospel music, and whatever comes on is on, and it is loud. And you can't have negative spirits in the house, you know, that negative stuff when you're blasting your worship music. And my parents and my mom especially instilled one thing in us, which is opposite spirit. Few of us have heard that from her and know it, and it's really hard, especially when you're stubborn. You don't want to go towards the way of God. I remember one time I wrote, I quit, and hung it on the wall. That's just me, how I am, both ways. But then in the end, I take it down. I'm like, all right, you got to soften up, and you know the right way. I've seen friends, family, they're like, I'm going to do this myself. It doesn't work. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out to do it on your own. I'm telling you, it doesn't. You got to have a piece of God, even if it's just a tiny piece. He's there. And the other part, besides the prayer and the worship, which is like the, you know, and reading the Bible, I think it's through gifts. God gives you these little gifts through the day, like, you know, taking a moment to garden, which I really like doing but don't have a lot of time, like going out there in the sun, planting some flowers, looking at it and being proud of it, just writing poems or just singing or laughing, joking,
These little things that you just have in your life, that God gives you these gifts. I think that's huge for me, just little moments in with my busy day. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my life. I'm very real. So,
thank you. Wow, these ladies rocked, didn't they? They did so well. The way they all did it together, I just loved it. Thank you so much. I don't want to let the day pass, though, without praying for those of you who are missing your moms today. You're aching inside, because this day brings that out. And then I felt like maybe there's people here who are not only missing their moms, but they're missing their kids. And so I just want to pray for you right now. God, I thank you for your word that promises to be close to those who are brokenhearted. And so, God, I thank you that you are big enough to reach inside hearts and massage them and fill the broken places with your love. And yet you still make room for grief when there needs to be grief. And so I thank you for that, and I pray that you would hold these people so close to your heart that they would feel your tenderness today, that they would not allow their pain to make them bitter, but they would allow their pain to push them to you and invite you into the hard place. And so I pray that you would just comfort as only you can today, and bring healing. Amen. And I really felt like this morning, I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but if you're in that situation where you're aching with the absence of your mom, find a woman who's older than you and just give them a hug and let them hug you back. Really, like, find someone and be intentional about it and say, I want to give you a hug, but I need a hug from a woman who's older than me. And then if you're aching with the absence of your children, do the same thing. Find a child that you can run around the church with after. Like, really, find it. Max is usually there. He chases his kids and other kids who want to play. Join the crowd today. If you're missing your children, let the pain be an impetus to pour out love on another child. And I'm not saying it's going to take away your pain, but it's going to use it for a good purpose. And so I just really want to encourage you to do that today. Don't forget the gifts as you're leaving. Next week, we will have Inside the Kingdom Inside My Head. Oh, Heather should like that one. Inside the Kingdom Inside My Head. Yeah, we're going to talk about how the kingdom impacts your thinking. And it's going to be powerful. So make sure you come. Enjoy coffee, bagels, chats, puzzles, or chasing kids around the church. Okay. Love you guys. Have a great week.